Yeah, I realized I wrote all my notes on my phone, and then this morning I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Should probably have just grabbed any paper.
Better I didn't.
And I realised in my entire house, one pen, which is ridiculous.
I used to literally drown in pens, and now I've.
It's dry.
So, you're having a pen drown.
Just before we dive in, it was Go West Young Man first, wasn't it?
It was. And then it was. Then it was Cash and Curry.
The biggest issue I have with this process so far is not messaging you while I'm watching it. Just being like, oh boy, this is happening.
Well, this is part of it, is like, well, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
I did quite enjoy the fact that we appreciated this first episode together and then recorded it.
Yeah. Whereas now we're coming at it separately. Do you want to...
We've mulled it over.
Yeah, do you want to lead on the intro?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was the intro. I thought this is the bit where they talk before.
Okay,
it's a bit of like natural.
Yeah, the natural patter. Yeah, so should probably introduce ourselves then. that would be good.
You sounded terrified.
Yeah, I know. I just got really, really stooped there for a second.
We're back at
Only Fools and Podcasts, episode 2,
the classic British comedy podcast, where we're going to take you through every single episode of Only Fools and Horses.
And this week's a real zinger. So this is episode 2, titled Go West, Young Man.
Wait, who are you?
Oh, I'm Mike.
I'm Ben.
That's there we go. Got there in the end.
Yeah, take that off the list.
As well, on the last episode, I'd like to point out that we had a bit of speculation at the end as to what the title might mean.
Mm-hmm.
Go West, Young Man. Yours being something incredibly avant-garde.
Like, I think I thought that, that Rodney was going to have to start. Just gonna have to start doing the
cowboy shit.
Yes.
Yeah, and my guess was that they went to like Watford or something along those lines. And I think, you know what, after watching it, I was right.
I think we're both right.
No, no, I think I'm definitely right.
Well, to me, the main arc of episode 2, Go West, Young Man, was Rodney starting to learn how to use Del Boy's tricks against him.
Okay,
but
so let's talk plot then before we dive deep into it.
What's the vague?
So it is essentially like your underlying the con of the episode.
Okay, the con is on
is a car. So they buy a secondhand motor, they sell it on, they reap the rewards and the problems of the profit. That's basically your underlying thing, but there's so much else going on in it.
This is like, I'm gonna say now, I'm shocked at like how, firstly, like the kind of pace and confidence of these episodes.
It's episode 2,
but also the classic British comedy-ness of it. This is really,
there was a lot of like I feel like every episode that I've only watched, you know, the first few in success.
It's already classic,
but it's like. They feel like, I feel like I've seen these in like the top 10 Only Fools moments. Like in this episode, of course, like first and foremost, who are they buying the car off?
Well, okay, we're gonna get to this. Let's go right back.
Okay.
Okay, first shot.
We're in the flat.
It's okay. A TV screen. Like the start of episode 1. So is this the unifying thing? TV is pacifying granddad. The working class are being dulled, okay? They're all stuck on the soma. They're all being drugged.
But it's not Sidney Poitier this time.
No.
What is it?
It was another black actor, okay. Another famous African-American. I don't know who it was. But that's granddad. He's planted in that seat.
He's not moved from that chair. But then again, it's only been the first 2 episodes. But I imagine that'll be a kind of running thing. So we open on Grandad with a classic quip. Can't remember what it is, but I'm sure I laughed. And then Rodney. Lovesick little Rodney.
Yeah.
So he's been KB'd by the girl that he's been seeing.
KB'd?
Not back.
I've never heard that.
KB'd. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, you know, when you're at a school disco, you walk up to your main squeeze and you tap her on the shoulder and then she turns around and she laughs at you and you runs away. That's you being KB'd.
Ah, okay. So a Friday.
Yeah, I don't barely think about it now, but it's fine. So he's a bit lovesick over, what's the girl's name?
Is it
Roxanne?
No, it's like fucking Anita or something.
Yeah. It's... And her biggest characteristic is that she is a bit overweight, apparently.
She has thick thighs.
She has thick thighs, as yeah.
Del Boy will not stop.
Which, again, Rodney, you know, it's 2019 now. Thick thighs on the menu.
Absolutely.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
This is
when he's... Rodney's ass.
That's established very early on.
And so what we have here, because Del Boy is just like, why are you bothered about...
Rodney's ass.
Why are you bothered about this bird and her thick thighs? You need to be worried about thick wads of cash.
Nice. Okay, good segue. So
what we see here is what motivates them. Rodney loves pussy. Del Boy loves green.
Loves money. Yeah, well, Rodney loves green as well.
Well, yeah. And there's a very good line later on about how he loves green.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. yeah, so he's a bit lovesick, and turns out that...
Del Boy in this scene is wearing a yellow turtleneck top and a chain.
Yeah, and he's smashing it.
It's superb.
It's incredible.
And then in the next scene, he puts on a leather jacket and the classic Del Boy jacket on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a look.
it's definitely a statement piece.
Like, I'm sure I've seen Drake, like, wearing that in the music video. Like, that exact outfit.
I mean, in the God's Plan video, yeah, he's got the leather jacket, the camel skin on top, the classic Del Boy look.
Del Boy, do you love me?
This is it. And it apparently... with Rodney, turns out that he's been double-crossed a little bit.
He's been double-crossed. His best mate.
Mickey fucking Pierce.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Mickey
he's swooping
Pierce.
In. So I don't know if you know, listeners at home watch the episode, but essentially, Mickey Pierce told Rodney that him and his girl should take a wee break, and then he snaked himself in.
Clever boy.
Mickey fucking Pierce. Typical. Stole the show.
Is he going to come back?
I don't know. It's weird. The more I'm watching, the more I'm kind of... remembering like your supporting characters, and I don't think Mickey Pierce was one of them, but if he does come back, there's gonna be fireworks. It's gonna kick off.
And in this scene also, Del Boy gives us the first time he says his catchphrase, "This time next year we'll be millionaires." But it doesn't get a laugh on the track. It's just a line.
Again, I think we talked about in the first episode the Hello Dave shit. And it's like there's this weird excitement when you hear it for the first time. It's like, oh, it's like, you know, when they say the name of the movie in the movie and it's just like,
yeah. So much doubt.
this is it. So he says that. There's a couple of moments as well, I don't know if you noticed, where, you know, the plonker aspect is definitely a big part of the whole thing.
Plonker, I've not heard as much as pranny.
That's pranny, my question. What is a pranny?
What the fuck is a pranny?
So, my first thought was prangy. You know, if someone's pranging out, they're stressing.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Maybe a pranvestite. We'll get to that. I don't know, but I've got no idea what a pranny is. I almost messaged my dad being like, what's a pranny? But I thought that kind of unsolicited text would be like, you pranny. So that was a strange one. And of course, harking back to 2018, Del Boy mentions that it's coming home. Or there's someone like, Ingrid have more chance of winning the cup than Rodney does with Thunder Thighs. which was quite great. But
And this scene sets up a question that I want to ask you now.
Okay. That's quite... You just unrolled a scroll there.
Who is the fool and who is the horse?
Oh, Jesus. Well, it's only fools and horses. So that implies that there's multiple.
There's multiple.
But who is the fool and who is the horse? I mean, I thought you said foil there. Which is the foil? Is the foil, and who only foils and horses? I don't know. I don't think the fools and horses in question are them. I think it's who they're trying to trick.
Right.
Who's on the because
only fools and horses work.
Yeah. Right. Don't work. Yeah. That's a really, really good question. Probably should have saved that for a bigger kind of episode, like an hour-long deep dive into...
We'll ask it again.
What is a fool?
We can...
You know, the ancient Greeks.
The five-fold Webster's
Webster's.
Put it in Webster's.
Defines it as the smashing of fruit and cream into a delicious dessert. Yeah, I couldn't say right now, but I think that's too deep. That's too deep.
So we leave the flat pretty soon after.
Yeah.
We're mobile. This is a lot more of a mobile episode. The first episode very much was like a play. It was like in the house.
Yeah.
In the flat, rather. This time we're already out on the street. We're meeting Boise.
Boise rocks up.
So Boise...
We should probably... Why don't we talk... Like, so Boise is a character dear to, you know, every British comedy fan's heart.
Because he gets his own sitcom spun off from this.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Green Grass.
Green Grass, yeah. And he is... How would you describe Boise to the unsuspecting?
The unwatched.
The great unwatched.
Who is Boise? He's
everybody's older brother.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
He doesn't take any shit.
Yeah.
He's a cigar chomper.
He's a serial adulterer. Yeah, he's...
He's David Davis.
How oddly specific. Could you argue that he's like the antagonist? Or the consistent antagonist?
Is he? I thought they're kind of mates, though, aren't they?
Okay, so... I was trying to, when I saw him for the first time, obviously elated, but was trying to figure out, because it's been so long since I've seen any of this, trying to figure out what I know about him before.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that later on, definitely, Boise is the kind of the measure, like the spirit, like the sounding board for Del Boy's success.
Right.
So I feel like everything Del Boy and Rodney are doing is either superseded by Boise or in an attempt to supersede Boise.
So he's always like one step ahead.
Yeah, he's made it.
Ah, okay.
And you get that with the beautiful car.
Yeah.
The Jag. The top down Jag. Which in the episode Boise is trying to hide from his wife so he can give it to his mistress. So, real piece of shit. Real top shelf arsehole.
He's an 80s figure. He is a master of the universe.
What, the kind of carry-on Peckham? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's like Bonfire of the Vanities Peckham. Like.
It's hard to forget. It's easy to forget, actually, that this is all set in Peckham. It's there are shots later on which have the kind of, you know, mega city one feel with all the council estates built up. But with the car scene, why is it with Rodney and not understanding what bit on the side means?
Rodney doesn't understand like any any play. Any time that Del Boy's like, you know, when he sells the car later on, he's like going, oh yeah, it's only got like 12,000 on the meter, and he's going, no, it's like, dude, like cotton on. You've been brought up by
You're 23 now.
You're 23.
Act like it. Like, I guess that kind of gives him the moral ambiguity, but it's like, there's a point where there's naivety and ignorance really kind of smashing together and not knowing, like, it's a real 2 minutes for him to have it explained what bit on the side means. And then there's nothing much beyond that.
So everyone here is talking about sex and love.
Yeah.
Like, We've got Boise in his bit on the side.
Yeah.
We've got Rodney who's crestfallen. We've got Grandad who's had memories of losing his virginity.
That's a tough scene. That's a really tough scene.
It's an amazing bit of acting from who plays Grandad?
I couldn't say, but David Jason kills it as well.
He does.
Weirdly into it. Because essentially, like, the scene with Grandad there, which is a bit later on, starts with him being like, I remember when I got with your grandmother. And I'm half expecting it immediately to get shut down. But Del Boy, weirdly into
it. It's kind of like,
Like, granted, it ends with him being like, drawing a line under it, but not after he's got a little bit of his fill. And given, which we'll get to, the talk of fetishes later on in the show.
Yes.
Again, episode 2, already getting into sexual proclivity.
But this is what fetishes. It's doing. It's worth setting up the world.
This is two of 60, Ben.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next? I don't know.
Will it cover race at some point?
I think it might.
So, okay, we got Speed Breeders.
Yeah.
So they've sold the car to some Aussie bloke.
Skippy.
Is he called Skippy?
His name is literally Skippy, yeah. Rodney mentions him later on, and I have a note here that just says, who the fuck is Skippy? This strangely balding Australian
man. They rip him off, but the brakes are all fucked. It's a terrible car.
Yeah.
Then, Del Boy, Rodney even.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Rodney starts to use the skills that Del Boy taught him.
Oh.
He's going out, but he wants the Jag. And so he kind of cons Del Boy into having a night out with him. That's a weird conversation.
Because
he has no friends. He's like playing it like he's got loads of friends, but he obviously hasn't.
He doesn't have any.
David Jason knows that.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm not going on a night out, but Rodney knows how to poke him.
This is it. I felt that was more to do with the money than the company than anything.
Yeah.
I got that impression. So they sell the car for about $2,000. And Rodney has a moral issue with it because it has no brakes, which,
makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a death trap.
Del Boy should hang out with Danny DeVito in Matilda. Wormwood.
You know what? That's so weird you should say that, because when they're selling the car and your guy looks at the speedo, all I could think is in Matilda the power drill.
And they
use the power drill to whirl
the
it back.
Sawdust.
That's mad that you would mention that. So, we're now moving into, we're midway through the second act, essentially.
Night out.
The car, Rodney has gotten over his moral issues, they've agreed to go out, and now we actually go west, young man.
Yeah.
So the decision is made to head to, is it just the West End, or they say?
I think they say the West End, and then they like want to go to Chelsea later.
I was thinking this, because what constitutes the West End in terms of, is it just Soho, Bond Street?
I assume so.
Mayfair to a degree.
I guess so.
Just posh.
Are they just drinking in the bar where Les Mis is on?
Right. Is this it? Yeah, they're just waiting.
Yeah,
for...
I think it must be Soho, because there's this extraordinarily camp waiter.
Mm.
Let's establish that they get to the bar at 7 p.m. and they're in the club at 7, and they're like, why is there no action?
A windowless basement, essentially, where they order a couple of beverages.
Yeah.
So Del Boy orders, what's it called? A Caribbean stallion?
Yes.
Or a Jamaican stallion, kind of...
Oh, we'd all like one of those.
Yeah.
Huge fucking laugh. Kills it on the laugh track.
But I like how it's an incredibly camp drink, but there's the flip of it's
the flip.
Yeah, it sounds delicious, by the way. It's tequila.
Oh, because Del Boy tells the waiter how to make it.
Tequila, Cointreau, what else? Soda and grapefruit juice. It's like that's genuinely bang.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds good right up until it's like two straws and an umbrella. Which is
so shattered.
So they're in this.
They order their drinks.
Yeah.
And then they're actually quite sweet with each other. They're quite emotionally kind of available. And I thought,
what are they talking about?
They're just talking about Rodney's sort of issues with love.
Oh,
and
it's
not. They're not really taking the piss out of each other. They're just.
That's true.
They're just talking, and
I like how it's set up as well. Like as you said before, the first episode has a play vibe. It definitely has that kind of stage feel to it, where everything is the chairs are all pointing towards the audience.
Yeah.
There's no real disconnects.
The lighting and everything was
it's mad. And this is where we get to the real crux of
the real shit.
So we're in this club, which is
this is the police.
This is the police. Yeah. So it's Del Boy starts to wonder why aren't things going well with Under Fives? And I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. So that's why aren't things going with T Squares? What's been happening? And it turns out that Rodney has a little bit of a thing for uniforms. And rather,
what, like a postman's uniform?
Oh, no, police.
Which I love how, because fetishes are still kind of, you know, confusing even now. People don't really understand why. There's still people are trying to move away, but there's still a taboo.
But I love how Rodney, Del Boy's only issue with Rodney's fetish is that it's a police woman.
Yeah.
Not that it's uniform, it's just weird.
Well, because Rodney's got a suspended sentence.
Oh shit, yeah. So that could be why.
I assume that's why they put that together. And if I'm correct, without spoiling too much, isn't Rodney's eventual match is a police woman?
See, I was thinking she's either a policewoman or there is definitely a scene way, way, way down the line where
she's in a police uniform.
Yeah. So okay. I don't think she's a policewoman, but I think she...
They're going to pay off this phase.
Yeah, this is going to pay off over time, which is great.
So does that mean that this bit about he's got a fetish for police uniform was like that popular in the culture that they had to return to it? They had to pay that off in a kind of... You know, like Szechuan sauce. Was that the equivalent?
They had to pay fan service. It's like, I just can't. I'm just getting all these letters about the police uniform. The fans love it. Maybe it's a running sore. I think the problem is it's completely fine and healthy to have a fetish, but I think the way he indulges in it is a bit strange. Which is rather than just saying to this girl, "Look, I have a thing for uniforms. If you could wear this uniform, we could do a bit of role play. Great." He sporadically buys her elements of the uniform in the hope that it will all come together. So he's like, yeah, I bought her the hat on her birthday, and then on Valentine's Day I was going to get her, you know, the little tie, and then on Christmas I was going to get it. It's like, Rodney, come on, just ask. Like, again, we've already discussed, Rodney, he clearly eats ass. So why does he have a problem with asking for a uniform?
Surely does he ask before he's asked, or does he just go in on Valentine's Day and then Christmas and
that's
and a birthday?
That's what they really want. He gives them what he wants for what they really want.
Yeah,
but it's mad.
Okay, so then they say fuck this and let's get some bitches.
Yeah, there's two fine, broad-shouldered young ladies at the bar
with their backs to the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a British comedy, so whatever could they look like when they turn around?
I mean, it's
Del Boy goes up to talk to them.
Yeah.
Comes back, he's white as a sheet. Oh, let's get out of here.
Rodney jumps for joy, thinking that they've pulled.
Yeah.
Turns out, they haven't, and it is too... what would be the best words? Two drag enthusiasts, transvestites. It's essentially men in drag.
Two, yeah.
You don't know anything beyond that.
It's just a kind of like casual, like sort of transphobia thing in British.
I completely agree that there is an element of that in classic comedy, but I think this was done quite well. I don't like they look. They're not. I think if they had dialogue, it could be a problem. But what I think is interesting is Del Boy says, let's fucking get out of Dodge. Let's get out of here. Let's go. And we're walking up the stairs. Rodney lingers. He hangs back
a bit
and looks at these two, like, pretty well done up. Like, guys who... Yeah, and there's that, you know... And we've established that Rodney's a pervert.
Yeah, right.
He likes drag. He likes uniforms. He likes getting high and banging exchange students, as episode one told us.
It's a callback to Some Like It Hot. You know,
nobody's perfect.
No one's perfect.
There is a little bit of, you know, that classic homophobia where, like, I can't remember the exact line, but there's something. The word, like, it's like, don't let us get bummed. Essentially, right. that's raised. Again, there's no...
I think it's just that they aren't characters at all. They don't even talk to them. It's literally like they are just a visual gag. And I think that's what's kind of sour. Like,
okay. See, I didn't feel like the joke was at their expense. I felt it was at Rodney's expense for choosing this club. Like, I felt it was... I guess we're probably reading way too much into it. It's that kind of... At the time...
It's just very dated, I think. That, like, some...
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff in this is, you know, it's like the Sidney Poitier stuff.
Well, yeah, the waiter as well being incredibly...
So camp, yeah.
Who's your man and are you being served?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that kind of, like, oh, Mr. Humphrey, my pussy is so wet. That kind of, like, ha-ha. That overt, are you being served kind of...
But then I wonder with the character carry like on, that, was that something that was in the script? Or was that actor like, right, I've got a bit part on Only Fools, I need to stand out.
I need to smash this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, we got to get through
this.
How
are we doing on time?
We're over 20 minutes.
Okay, right.
So we've got like two scenes left, effectively. So they go to another club,
which is banging, by the way.
It's so good.
It's disco. It's dancing. It's half pints. It's everything you want.
It's like one of those, like, you know, the SNL like Night of the Roxbury scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? It's kind of like that.
All I was thinking is, I need to get the playlist for this club because it was all classic disco.
So they go and chat with these two girls. One of them looks like a young Sally Field. They're very excited to meet Del Boy and Rodney, who say that they are tennis players.
Before they go up to them, though, the big issue Del Boy has is don't let them know I'm 35. My response to that is clearly older than 35. Like, you're clearly like a 40-year-old man at this point. But, you know, they go over and introduce themselves as world-class tennis players. And it works.
Yeah.
You know, the girls... are wise to their game, you know, suss them out, but the South London charm does them well.
But what's interesting is in the scene before, they're being so honest with each other and so revealing of their proclivities and their anxieties, and as soon as they're meeting outsiders, they have to lie about who they are. They have to hide it. And even when the game is up, they still put on a different front.
See, this is what I like. This is what you're bringing to this podcast. Is I'm being like, oh, the music was good. And you're like, yeah, when they're outside the boundaries of, you know, the homosexual bar, they're not allowed to be open. And that says a lot about them. But you're right. It's true. They're immediately, you know, cracking wise and lying to get what they want. Which they do, or do they?
Or do they? Yeah. But we have that the line about they say, "Do you prefer to play grass or AstroTurf?"
Yep.
And Rodney says, "Who's not really listening?" Goes, "Well, I've not smoked AstroTurf, but I love grass."
I'm not ashamed to admit, Ben, that I stopped for a little dab after that.
Just let me pause. This is it.
Yeah, a distant air horn just fires
off. I'll pause to smoke some dabs.
That's it. Just to get into the mood. Which is brilliant. Again, kind of showing that... It's weird because I didn't realise there was that element of cannabis culture in
Peckham in the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. Like the same kind of, like... Those are jokes that are made... No, kind of
thing. Wasn't weed not illegal until quite late in the UK?
I couldn't say.
I think it wasn't until like the late 60s or 70s.
Really?
Something mad like that. I could be wrong, but...
No, that's something to look into, actually. Just not for this, just for, you know, just in general. Just
when you do your time travel machine.
This is it, yeah. Going from, like, the only reason to travel back to the 60s. So it's like you've got Stonewall, you've got tax cuts, you've got everything. But weed was legal for a few years. That was fun.
I'd love to have smoked, like, the 1960s weed that was supposedly so much weaker.
Really?
Yeah. Because obviously weed now has all these like chemicals and all this other shit that's just like, it's hydroponic.
Yeah, like, it's essentially like one of those crystals someone's mum's trying to sell with a little bit of leave on it.
Oh man, I saw someone's Instagram story, by the way, who's like a yoga teacher.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, I've been charging up my moon crystal.
God.
So the next yoga Saturday is going to be great. You still spaces if you want a book. And I was like, Jesus. The fuck is this?
I read
shit, she's got a moon crystal.
I saw a YouTube comment once talking about how a guy wasn't allowed onto a flight because his crystal was too charged. That was a legit thing. I got way too deep into it. This was a YouTube comment as well on a video of how to cook tamales. It had nothing to do with anything he was saying. It was just that charge to crystal.
My fucking uncle and auntie take their crystal with them on holiday. They take it everywhere. And it's one that you plug in. It's a lamp.
It's oh, it's like a salt lamp.
I don't know.
That's, yeah, that's a thing. You know what? It's not for me. Doesn't, well, it is wrong, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't help people, eh? It's a strange one. I just, as well, I know that a couple of mates that might listen to this would get annoyed if I was chatting shit about their crystals.
Like crystal.
But I am chatting shit about their crystals because they're just rocks.
Are you crystal shaming?
Anywho, moving on.
They pull the girls. The girls say, meet us at our flat. Here's the address. Del Boy and Rodney, they go driving off in the Jag. They're like, all right, we're in.
Happy days.
Del Boy lights a cigar. He hands Rodney the fag packet.
Yep.
All right, where is it we're going then? Oh, the address is written on the fag packet. Rodney says, but I threw that out the window about half a mile back.
And
screech.
Right.
He
pulls to a sudden halt, and you think, oh, that's it. They've only gone and missed out on getting the ride of a lifetime. And wouldn't you know it, they get rear-ended, which is adding insult to injury, because that's Boyce's car. He's not going to be happy.
Oh, so you're saying that from having nearly got with the ladies, they did get rear-ended after all.
Oh, Ben!
Oh, my God!
The issue in the club is, quote, don't let us get bummed. And then at the end, they get bummed. And who's the one doing the bumming? Who's the buggerer in this situation?
It's Skippy. It's
bloody Skippy in the car with no brakes. And that's what I'm starting to love about this show, is that it's so full circle.
It's Curb Enthusiasm,
right?
It's like,
this is it. And it has that Curb feel where it's like when you've got like six pieces left of a jigsaw and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this. You know what's coming. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, Curb does the same. This is the same. When the car hits, your brain is like, oh, I wonder who hit them. And then you start to piece it together and you're rewarded by seeing who it actually is. And then we get the Rodney Pranny.
Rodney Pranny, and then they run off.
And then they run off.
And then we get, we got some.
But yeah, I love this episode. I thought it was great. I think for a second episode as well, it's strange because you normally notice a massive difference between the pilot and the second in terms of quality, writing, whatever. But it's the exact same.
I'd say this was a step up.
Really?
If the first episode might have been a B on the classic British comedy scale,
okay,
this is probably like a solid A minus.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. I feel that they're both.
How many Manuels out of Baldrick would you give this?
How many Manuels out of Baldrick? I would give it quattro and a half Baldricks.
Oh,
fuck Manuel.
Unos dos tres.
Quattro. So, as we all know, as we've established this scale, that's pretty good. But it was definitely a fun one. And again, what I liked about it is there's a real thing of thinking that any show that didn't come out in the last 20 years is going to be like Victorian in its subject matter. You know, it's kind of like your parents watched it, so it's not going to be as, you know, on the edge or progressive. But this is an episode that has weed, fraud, transvestites, Boise. It's got every single, it's almost the seven deadly sins covered
it's
in one episode.
Lot, yeah.
But yeah, what about yourself? What would you rate it?
I think I'm going to go with an A-, because I feel like I think we can go better. I think
this was
really solid.
Definitely.
I'm impressed. I think we started this show as a joke.
Yeah, as something, like, I'll be honest, there was, going into this, and I was thinking it was going to be like, oh, this is so bad now, does it stand up? It's 100% standing
it's
up
better
so
than
far,
I remember.
Right? This is it. There's going to have to be some serious bigotry to really set this off track.
Yeah.
But I don't...
We'll see what happens in episode 3. What's it called? Cash and Curry. Curry?
So, yeah, just for a bit of background, when Ben and I are doing these episodes, what we do is we kind of talk about what we're going to watch, and it's usually, so we're on the same page, we specify the title. And I don't know about you, but going into episode 3, Cash and Curry, I was ready for
a literal, like, shitstorm of
bigotry. Wait, are we going straight into this?
Well, I think we should wrap this up here. And I tell you what, if you're watching along and you liked Go West, Young Man, then...
Just wait
until Cash and Curry. But that's an episode for another episode, so...
Thanks
for joining us again.
Stay only fools, stay horses.
We need to work on this catchphrase, man. We need to figure it out. But we will see you next week.